Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Many times on this very talk radio show of mine, as well as in my 4 books, you have heard me discuss the concept of women being sexually duplicitous. What does it mean for a woman to be sexually duplicitous? When someone is duplicitous, this means that they show one group of people in their life one side of their personality and behavior, but they will reveal a totally different side of their personality and behavior when they interact with a different group of people. A more specific example as it relates to women would be a woman who behaves as though she is an erotically conservative prude when she is around her friends and acquaintances from her local church, but when she is around her close girlfriends at, say, a bachelorette party, she will let her more erotically uninhibited and freaky side come to the forefront. Speaking of bachelorette parties, if there is one group of men who tend to see women's more kinky and uninhibited side, other than a woman's husband, boyfriend, or a casual sex lover, it is typically male strippers. What have been the experiences of many male strippers? Tonight, I will talk to at least 3 or 4 male strippers about their experiences with women who publicly give off the impression of being conservative prudes, and I will receive insight from them about the wild side of women's behavior that they have observed and witnessed firsthand, as each of these strippers takes time out of their schedules in order to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you,
do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Yeah.
guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. Let me clear my throat. And today is Thursday, November 8th, 2 days after election night, at least here in the United States. And, man, what a week, what a campaign. Woo! Oh, man. Now, you know, my show's about dating relationships, so that's going to be the main conversation. But every now and then I segue at least only briefly into politics. Man, I got to tell you, I just got to be honest. This whole reaction to Obama winning and Romney losing has left me just at times speechless, at times with my eyebrows raised and my jaw dropped. Now, in fairness, in slight fairness, when Bush beat Al Gore, I was for Al Gore, and I was pissed off when Bush won. I won't lie, I was pissed off when Bush won. But, you know, I did all my sulking behind closed doors. I didn't come out publicly and just start bashing Bush and saying that I was going to leave the country and that I'm crying for the country and all that stuff. But, man, these conservative Republicans, man, they've lost their mind. Oh, my God, they're acting like we just elected Osama bin Laden's brother to be president of the United States. I mean, it's just ridiculous, some of the reactions. Like, I was on Twitter today. I cannot count how many people on Twitter called President Obama the N-word. It just blew my mind. It blew my mind that people, I mean, like, when Bush won, there were black people who called him stupid, but we didn't bring his race into our criticism. We just criticized his intelligence. It had nothing to do with race. But, I mean, a lot of people are just dogging out. It's just very sad to me. It's sad, the reactions that I've been reading. And me and my brother were talking earlier today, and there used to be this comedic character. I don't know if a lot of my listeners know. I used to do stand-up comedy for about a year and a half. And I had this one character that I used to do called Billy Bob. And Billy Bob was kind of this redneck hillbilly who did not perceive himself as racist, but he was racist. I mean, a lot of black people, we've met people like that. And I'm sure even some of our Caucasian listeners have met people like that. There are some people who are racist and they know they're racist. Then there's other people who are racist that they honestly don't think they're racist. And that's the character Billy Bob that I created. He was a guy who genuinely did not believe that he was racist. But anyway, when I used to do my imitation of Billy Bob, one of the things I used to say, you know, I don't like no coaches of color, man. I want a traditional American coach. A traditional American coach. Now, I'm not racist, but I just think a traditional American coach should be the head of a professional
football team and the head of a college football team. And, you know, my friends would laugh. Now, what's funny is, since Obama lost, that's the term that I have been hearing from people, is traditional American. Traditional American. It's just, it's, I don't know, it's just been killing me, man. I read this long essay by this conservative Republican, and he said, the days of the traditional American are dead. He said the face of America's change, which I do agree with him. The face of America has changed. But to just that conservative white people are traditional Americans, they weren't here first. Native Indians were here first. If anybody's a traditional American, is Indians. They were here before anybody. Anyway, I don't want to talk too long about politics. Like I said, my show is about dating relationships. But it just is really, it's been shocking to me, some of the reactions by Republicans concerning. I mean, when you lose, you just got to accept your loss and you give the man his respect. Mitt Romney did that. John McCain, when he lost 4 years ago, he did that. You know, Mitt Romney, he fought the good fight, but he lost. And he gave, afterwards, he gave Obama his respect. And that's how everybody should be. But, yeah, you've had a lot of people with sour grapes. A lot of people with sour grapes. And it is really, 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 really disappointed me. Yeah, Diva, Native Americans, not Indians. Yeah, Native Americans. My slip. But yeah, they were here first. Anyway, we got a good show tonight. One of the things that people always tease me about, and I just mentioned Diva, she used to always tease me because she said, Alan, if there's two polysyllabic words you like to use a lot, is duplicitous and disingenuous, and that is very true. I do. I love to say the words duplicitous and disingenuous, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. That's kind of a big emphasis in at least two or three of my four books, is women who are sexually duplicitous. And as I said in my introduction, if you're not familiar with the term duplicitous, that simply means you tend to show one side of your personality when you're around one group of people, but you show a totally different side when you're around a different group of people. For example, since I was just talking about the election, let's say if every time I was around black people, I was to talk about how much I love Barack Obama, but then when I was around white people, I was to give them the impression that I liked Mitt Romney. See, that would be an example of being duplicitous. Some people call it being two-faced. I mean, you show a different behavior. Or like when you're around your parents or your relatives, you act like you've never touched drugs, alcohol, but when you're with your close friends at your age, you smoke weed and drink alcohol all the time. That would be an example of being duplicitous. And there's a lot of women, not saying men aren't duplicitous either. I know a lot of men who are sexually duplicitous, but I know a lot more women who are sexually duplicitous, meaning that I know a lot of women who publicly act like they are innocent, wholesome, and prudish when they're around certain people, but then around other people, they will reveal their more kinky and uninhibited side. And that's kind of the basis of our discussion today, is women who will publicly give you the impression that they're all conservative and they don't indulge in kinky sexual activity, but behind closed doors, when they had a bachelorette party or they at some venue with male strippers, they show a totally different side. I would say if there's one type of guy that will see a woman's kinky side, next to, of course, their husband, or next to their boyfriend, or next to a casual sex lover of theirs, it's a male stripper. Matter of fact, in some cases, women will show they're more wild side to a male stripper than they will their husband, boyfriend, or other lover. I used to hang around. A good friend of mine, actually, when I lived in Los Angeles, was a male stripper. And for about a year, year and a half, he was a male stripper. And, man, the stories he used to tell me and some of the videos, yeah, he actually had some videos from some of his bachelorette parties. Man, it was off the chain. I mean, if you saw the way these women would act when they were around other women and a male stripper, it was like, it was just like unbelievable. Women who you would think would be like really conservative, kind of prudish. I mean, these were like professional type women, but they would be around a male stripper, man. They would go nuts, nuts. There's a club I mentioned in my book, my last book, The Possibility of Sex. If you haven't picked it up, please pick up a copy. That's my last book, my fourth book. It's called The Possibility of Sex. It's available on Amazon.com. I actually make mention of this, and that's one of the things that led to this discussion tonight, is because there's in one of my opening chapters, I talk about how a lot of women, when they're around strippers, they act totally – like there's a club used to be called Chick Rick's in Chicago. And Chick Rick's used to have this male review that would come once every 2 to 3 months. Then all of a sudden I noticed one time I was there where it said male review canceled. So I asked one of the brothers that worked there. I said, hey, man, what happened to the male strippers? Not that I was trying to check them out, but I'm just curious. Why are they not coming anymore? And he started laughing. He said, man, this is the exact words. He said, man, because of these horny-ass bitches. And me and him both started laughing. I said, damn, what you talking about? He said, man. He said, these women were literally jumping up on stage, just basically like date raping these dudes, man. And I thought he was kind of like just lightheartedly exaggerating. But as the conversation continued, he was very serious. He said they would literally like, they would jump on top, like two or three women would just jump on top of a guy and take off his G-string and literally start inserting the guy's dick into their pussy. And I was like, you're kidding. He was like, no, man, I'm not joking, man. He said, man, he said, people think, and this is one of the points I made in my book. He said, man, people think men are the horniest sex. They always portray us to be the horniest sex. But he said, I guarantee you, man, if you've ever been around women, when they're around a male stripper that they're attracted to, man, they lose their fucking mind, dude. And anyway, that's who I invited on the show tonight. I'm going to be talking to three different male strippers. And I'm going to be asking them questions about their experiences with women, specifically women who on first glance would look kind of conservative or maybe prudish, but these women would show a more wild side. And then, of course, I'm going to sneak in some questions to ask them, what's their fitness program? I want to get some tips from them on how to lose some of my chicken wing fat. but anyway, that conversation. Then next week, real quickly, I will be interviewing two women. One is named Natasha Dixon. She's actually been on my show before. Natasha Dixon will be on my show. And then another guest by the name of Christy Ferris will be on my show. These two women are doing two one-woman shows across different cities across the country. And they'll be joining me next week to talk about their one-woman show. So join me next week for that. Right now I'm going to take an intermission break. And when I get back, I'm going to introduce the first of the three strippers I'll be interviewing tonight, and then we will take it from there. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I didn't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.mode1.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. And tonight we're going to be talking about sexually duplicitous women. That's right, sexually duplicitous women. Women who have, you know, who, when they're around one group of friends, they'll show them that conservative, prudish side. But then, say, when one of their girls has a bachelorette party or there's a male stripper review in town, man, they just lose their mind. But before I bring in my guests, I forgot to give my listeners their props. You know, I always give my listeners their props.
Now, I love all my listeners, archive listeners and live listeners, but I give most props to my live listeners and even more specifically, my chat room listeners. That's right. And tonight I got a number of guests in my chat room. They're not identifying themselves. They don't have a username. They just called guests. That means they can't write anything in my chat room because they just guest. They come in to listen to the male strippers. Ain't that something? And I got my number one most loyal listener. I call her the multitasker. She should change her username in the chat room to multitasker 362636. She's the multitasker. See, starting with this season, she listens to my show. Then she also watches Scandal on ABC. Then she watches whatever NBA game might be good on at the time. Diva talking smack. She said men are just as duplicitous as women. There's a lot of men who talk about sex all the damn time. Then they get around a woman and want to act like they're a priest. Ha! Now, that's interesting, huh? I don't know if I've met men like that. That talk about sex a lot, then when they get around women, they want to act like they're priests? Well, yeah, I probably met a few guys. If you're talking about just conversationally, yeah. I met a lot of guys who have no good and well, they freaks. And they try to talk about the weather and politics and sports and other shit that they know that's not on their mind instead of talking about fucking. But anyway, I was giving shout-outs to my listeners. I got Ben 3 is in my chat room. I got Chihio in my chat room. Diva 362636, the outspoken one from the Ohio State. She's in my chat room. I got Susie the Sauce. I don't know how to pronounce that. Sound like some kind of seasoning. Susie the Sauce. Excuse me for messing up your username. I just cannot pronounce that. Susie the Sauce. And like I said, I got a number of guests. But anyway, another shout-out would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, Philip Pulliam, and his older brother, Irvin. The Pulliam the Third, EVP3, Edie Lee Harris, Vanessa Turner, all the women in my female supporters group on Facebook. Love all of them. But right now, I'm going to bring in two strippers that I'm going to be talking to tonight. And I actually don't know what cities they hail from, so I can't say what cities they hail from. I'm going to ask them right now. But listeners, give it up for my two guests. They are seasoned male strippers. One is named Brandon, and the other one is named Rico. Give it up for them.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, hey, what's going on?
Oh, not
hey,
too
Rico.
Much. Just glad to have you guys on the
hey,
show.
Bro.
Now, Brandon, where are you at? What's this?
I am in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And Rico, you're where?
I'm in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Okay. So both of you are in Pennsylvania. Okay.
About an hour from Philly. Yeah.
About an hour from Philly? Okay. Well, Rico, let me ask you first because I heard you're going to have to leave in a little bit. First of all, what was the first thing that happened then in your life or thought that made you say, "Hey, I want to strip for women"?
I don't know, man. It was since I was a little boy. I just I love dancing, and you know, I mean, I love women. So I put them both together, and I decided that I wanted to be a stripper when I was about 17 years old. And I went ahead and gave it my first try when I was 18. It went pretty well. I was really, really nervous, but it just happened. Well, I took a couple shots on Jose Cuervo, and that really loosened things up and helped me a lot.
Okay, now I'm hearing an accent. What's your nationality?
I'm from South America, from Ecuador.
Ah, interesting.
Yep.
See, it just shows you can't just look at somebody and assume, because your pictures, you just look like a brother, regular brother. But I'm definitely hearing that, like, Spanish accent, island-type accent. Okay, from Southern. Now, how long have you been in the States?
About 8 years now.
About 8 years. So your thing was you always loved dancing, and you always loved women, and you decided to put the two together. And now how long have you been stripping?
My first show when I was when I was about 18, and then I kept on doing it until I was probably 22, 23. Then I stopped for about 2 years, and then my last show was about 2 months ago. That was my most recent one, and it went pretty well. I thought I was going to be a little rusty, but you never forget those dance moves. And once you're up there in state, that comes naturally.
Okay. Now, when this is for you and Brandon. Did you two watch that movie called Magic Mike?
Twice. Yep.
You get one. You watched it once.
One watched it twice and one watched it once. Well, did you, being strippers yourself, was that a pretty realistic portrayal of male strippers, or did they do some Hollywood exaggerating?
I would say that was, I would say that they got it pretty spot on. You know, and they even went into some of the drugs. You know, they didn't really go into the steroid thing, which is bigger than the narcotics, but.
So a lot of male strippers use steroids, huh?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely.
Oh, so you're confessing that you do.
Yeah, I'm mode one, man. I don't give a shit.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, since you're going to confess that, I've always heard over the years that there's benefits of steroids, of course, in terms of improving your body, but I've heard there's can be side effects and drawbacks. Have you experienced any major side effects / drawbacks to using steroids?
If you stay on too long, you can lower your testosterone for, you know, many months or even for life. I just stay on a little bit all year long. I do that under doctor supervision. So I have like a high level of testosterone, a little bit higher than an 18-year-old. So it keeps me optimal all the time. And then I'll periodically take mega doses, which is, you know, a lot more. Your balls might shrink. Your dick doesn't change, but your balls might shrink. But, you know, they can come back. It's not a big deal. Who needs
it? See, that is actually one of the ones I had heard, because I remember Sylvester Stallone used to use steroids. And somebody said it caused, well, first people used to say it caused both his penis and his testicles to reduce. Then later it came out that, like you just said, they said it didn't shrink his dick, but it did shrink his testicles.
Right.
And that was one of the things that happens, and I think somebody said that happened with Arnold Schwarzenegger, too. Okay. So that's how you get that really rip look, huh?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is when I'm getting ripped, I don't use that much. I usually use more when I'm trying to put on size. So it's more important for putting on size than it is for getting lean. So you can get still very lean without steroids, yeah.
Oh, I got you. Okay, now, well, since I'm talking to you, Brandon, let me ask you real quick. What was your first series of events or the first thought that motivated you to say, hey, I want to be a male stripper?
Well, it's funny because similar to Rico, I had got the idea in my head when I was about 17. And I actually, when I was in high school, I ran into the girls' changing room, the cheerleaders, and I just ran in my underwear and started dancing around. And but that was kind of the first time. But yeah, I could have got kicked out of school for that, but I didn't somehow.
They just liked it.
Yeah, they liked it. That's right. But then I saw a movie when I was 22. Called Just Can't Get Enough. It was about the Chippendales, and I'm like, shit, I got to do this. These guys are getting laid all the time.
uh, like that. I like that honesty, man. You said there. I like when people are real. Because I was talking about that on my show one time. I was saying, I forget what we were talking about, but I was saying that I've read a lot of interviews where a lot of actors, well, I said there's two groups. There's some male actors who will say, yeah, you know, I wanted to become an actor because I just love the craft of acting and I love taking care. But I said, then there's those other actors that have been real that say, hey, like, what's his name? God, he was just in the movie Flight. Don Cheadle. I was reading an interview with Don Cheadle. And he was honest. He said, man, over half the reason I want to become an actor because I saw that actors get a lot of pussy.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to get a lot of pussy. So that's why I became an actor. And I want to say Bruce Willis admitted that too one time in an interview. He said, yeah. He said, at least half the reason I wanted to be a movie star because movie stars get a lot of pussy.
There you go.
And that always made me laugh because most people are just not that honest. And of course, you know, Brandon, you've been familiar with my Mode One philosophy for a while, mm-hmm. man. I'm all about upfront, straightforward honesty. Now, I'm gonna confess my little brief, experience with male stripper-like fame, although I never did it on the level of you guys, you and Rico. But there was at least once, if not twice. One time was when I was in college, and that was before I fell in love with chicken wings and peach snap and butter pecan ice cream. but no, I did. If I say so myself, at the time, I had a really lean cut physique, and this woman,
you're trying out for basketball, right?
This woman invited me. She was working for a lingerie store. She said, Alan, we're doing this fashion show where we're going to have, it's primarily geared towards women's lingerie, but there's going to be a brief section where we want to advertise just a handful of things for men. And she asked me and this male buddy of mine. So it was just me and him were only two male models, and it was probably like 6, 7, or 8 female models. And anyway, man, did the fashion show, and oh my God, man, these women were tripping me out. They were like just grabbing all on my ass and trying to reach in the G-string and grab my dick. And I was like, I think that was my first time where I said, damn, women are more wild than men are. Because, I mean, they were just wild. And then I actually had an audition for one a few years later in Chicago, but I didn't get it. But there was this club in Chicago. Because of that experience I just described, I wanted to do it while I was pursuing an acting career, because I used to pursue an acting career. And but anyway, I had a buddy in L.A., he actually was a male stripper, not for long. He did it for about somewhere between a year and a year and a half. He's actually now an investment banker. And talking about two different careers. But he made a lot of money, man. He made a lot of money. And the challenge for him, he said, and I'm going to ask you guys about this. His situation was he actually had signed some kind of contract. He couldn't really fuck his the women that were at his bachelorette parties, because if they were to kiss and tell the company that hired him, because he wasn't self-employed, he was doing it through some, I guess, some service or something, and if it was to get back to them that he was fucking the women, they would fire him. So he had to he said he snuck and did, you know, I think a handful after women, you know, swore they would be quiet, but he was always scared that women would kiss and tell. But, man, just the stories he would tell me about the difference in their behavior from before he came out and started doing his thing to when he got, you know, really into the zone. He you know, and one time I saw it firsthand was when my best friend who lived in Indianapolis, we went to this strip club. It was an interesting club because it had both. It was a big venue, and on one side you had female strippers, and then there was this kind of big opening, and then on the other side they had male strippers.
Yeah, and Rico worked in a place like that.
Oh, really?
Did we stay
in Philadelphia? And what was a trip, and this is what I want you guys to expound on. Man, the side with the women and the male strippers was like five times louder than the side with the men and the female strippers. The men, we were pretty reserved. I would say most strip clubs I've been to, men generally tend to be pretty cool, calm, collected when they're around female strippers. But, man, women, they lose their minds. So let me start with you, Rico. Think about your, like, first month stripping. Did it kind of, like, surprise you how wild and aggressive the women were towards you?
I was really, really surprised about it. Actually, my first show was on a bachelorette party on a house over there. I still remember it was in Newark, New Jersey. I was there, and the show was supposed to be up for two hours. As soon as I got there, the show started. I couldn't be stage for no more than 15 minutes because everybody, like, they just started walking out the stage. Like drunk women, they were just jumping all over me, and even, like, gay guys, they were just, like, jumping me. It was just ridiculous. I told the guy, you know what, I'm done, man. I'm done. Don't give me the other half of the money. I take the money you gave me right now, and I'm out because I couldn't even perform my songs or anything. Women are freaks, and their hands are really loose all the time, man.
Man, that's the trip. Brandon, what about you? Think about your first month doing stripping. Were you kind of expecting women to be wild, or did it raise your eyebrows like, damn, I never knew women were like this?
I expected them to be wild just from some of the stuff that I've seen, you know, different videos and stuff. But I actually started in the gay scene, stripping gay. I'm straight, but I started
that's
out.
Interesting. Okay, I have to ask you, what would motivate a heterosexual male? Well, I guess I know the answer. Money,
right.
It would be.
Well, no, exactly. It's actually the pussy, because I knew for a fact that women will still go there with their gay friends.
Oh, really?
So, I still occasionally do gay shows now, and even just on gay shows, doing those every other week, I'll still fuck a new girl every month. So I could just. I could probably survive 12 girls a year just from gay stripping.
Wow.
But back to women being wild, compared to men, they're a lot more aggressive. Like, the first night I was stripping was for men. There was one woman in there, and she got up on the table and ripped my shirt off. And I'm trying to, like, do my dance routine that I worked hard to do. And she's just ripping my shirt off. None of the guys did that. The guys were quiet and reserved and kind of, you know. Guys just kind of drool. But women kind of jump on you.
Wow. That's true. Because I don't know if you heard me talking about the club in Chicago I used to go to. But there was this club I used to go to back in the day called it was called the Shiki Ricky House. And it was in Chicago. And it was just mainly a black nightclub. But towards the back, they had this wall with a bunch of, like, different postings and photos. And I would always notice they would have these photos and advertisements that would say, women, the such and such male review will be in the club, you know. Next Friday, they would come an average of once every 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always see these advertisements. And then after they would come, they would have photos of them. Guys dancing and women's reaction to them. And I ain't going to lie, I always wanted to go just because there was so many hot women in there. I was like, damn, there's some smokers up in here. But I didn't want to look like, you know, I was there for the male strippers, but I see why guys would be tempted to go because it'd be so many hot women. Anyway, to get to the point, one day I noticed they had an advertisement, but on top of the advertisement, it said canceled. So that made me curious, and there was this guy who was working at the club that happened to be near me. So I said, hey, man, you know, I'm curious, man. Not that I, you know, wanted to be a big fan of the male strippers, and he started laughing. I said, but, you know, I always saw pictures of these hot women. I said, why did they cancel? He said, man, he said, you want me to be real? I said, of course I want you to be real. He said, man, I'm horny-ass bitches, man. And we both started laughing. And he said, no, man, I ain't even joking or exaggerating. He said, man, it got so bad. He said, at the last show they had before they decided to cancel it, he said, there was this group of women there that just at one moment just literally stormed the stage, like to the point where security couldn't even, like, hold them back. Because he said it was only, like, I want to say two security guys there. But it was a group of, like, maybe, like, 10, 15 women that just rushed the stage and start jumping on the guys, knocked them to the ground, start getting on top of them, and basically just start trying to fuck them. He said they literally were, like, take off the guys, whatever they had on, if it was a G-string or whatever article of clothing, they ripped it off. And they would just start either inserting the guys' dicks into their mouth or inserting the guys' dicks into their pussies. And I thought he was joking. He's like, dude, I am not making this up, dude. He said, that's why we had to cancel it, man. He said it was like out of control, dude. So I want to ask you two, start with you, Rico. Have you ever had a moment where you were dancing and you saw as few as maybe one or two women or even more that just start rushing towards you?
Yeah. It was over in Philadelphia. I was working in this one club called the Risque. And it was a group of probably four of us. And the night was going smooth. Everything was perfect. It was about 1 in the morning when women were, like, old, extremely drunk and crazy. And I don't know, it's like they worked this plan or something. And at the same time, they all decided to launch themselves to the stage. When we went to the stage, locally we had a back room, and we actually ran to the back room and locked the door. And security was trying to get him away from the door, but they were like, kind of like breaking the door. We can hear him knocking on the door and screaming things like, come fuck me. I like the one that was wearing the hat, or like, I like the one that was wearing the construction clothes. Like, they just screaming crazy things. And we were like, it was a crazy night.
Wow. What about you, Brandon? You ever been dancing and just had, like, as few as two or three women, or as many as, you know, or just more, that just unexpectedly start rushing towards you?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I bring a lot of it on myself, because I'm the type that'll go out into the crowd and start just giving, like, freebies away on lap dances, and they just really start, like, pouncing you, and they're stronger than they're very wiggly. They're very wiggly. And, you know, I'll tell you what. I mean, I'm a strong guy, but two, three, four women, forget about it, you know. And I've had some wardrobe malfunctions because of that.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay, now, has there ever been an incident, let me start with you, Rico, where one of these two scenarios, where either A, you had seen a woman around town or met a woman at a, I don't know, some social event you went to, and she seemed to present herself as fairly conservative and fairly prudish, and then you saw her at a stripping event, and she all of a sudden start acting wild, or vice versa, where you first met the woman while you were stripping, and she acted wild, but then later on, you saw her somewhere else, and she was presenting herself as, you know, prudish and conservative and mild mannered. Has that situation ever happened, Rico?
Of course, actually, I had a good story about that. I was in New Jersey, and I met this one chick. And she was a branch manager for a Bank of America. So what happened is that I met her. She was a really nice girl. Like, she wore glasses. She was, like, she looked professional and really quiet. She even went to church and everything. So the one time I was going to a strip show, and I decided to invite her so she could bring her girlfriends and stuff. So she came over, like, after the show, like, she was looking at me with different eyes. Of course, I fucked her. I went to her house and everything. And this woman was the most savage fucker that I ever met in my life. Like, she was telling me to, like, when she was screaming, she was saying, oh, my God, break me too. I want you to break that ass. I was like, what? Like, you were so innocent. What the fuck just happened to you? And she just turned into a whole different person. It was like she was possessed or something. It was not the one that I met, definitely.
Wow, okay. That was a good story. What about you, Brandon? Have you had
scenario happen? Yeah, in fact, I like this one because it's a good example. I had a female friend, and I don't have a lot of female friends because that's a waste of time, but she was like a friend of one of my guy friends.
Okay.
But every time I see her, I talk very sexual to her, and I'm like, we need to fuck and all this and that. And I was always very, like mode one, like you like
to do. Okay.
And she would always, you know, deny me. But then once I got a job as a stripper, once she found out that I was a stripper, oh, she wanted to know where I was dancing. She wanted to know where I was going. And then she finally came to one of my shows, and then I ended up fucking her. And it's almost like once they find out that you're a stripper too, even if it's outside the stripping venue, they will, like, treat you like a sex object. It's that they treat you different. I was in the deli one time, and my friend who owns the deli, he told a few of his female patrons that, you know, I have this guy who comes in, he's a stripper, he's a friend of mine. And one day I went in, one of those women were there. And she's like, oh, it's that guy? So I ended up giving her this little lap dance on one of the chairs, right? It's like people walking by the deli and shit. And then she says, I want a private lap dance. So I look at my friend and I say, can I give her one in the back? And so he let me use one of the back rooms, and she sucked my dick. I licked her ass. I mean,
oh, y'all get it on.
It's that type of shit. So,
and this is a woman who initially was kind of, you know, playing it cool with you, and
not her so much. But the point is, it's like once they find out that you are a stripper, or they see you in a strip club stripping, it just changes everything. It's like they let themselves be how they are. And the rest
dude,
of the time
that is so interesting to me that you say that. Because, again, it takes me back to my buddy who was stripped in L.A., man. The combination of the stuff that he would tell me, number one. Number two, he had these videotapes of these women. And then in certain instances, I would just, of course, be hanging around him. And I'd see the women, the way they react. And but, yeah, the main ones were, like, on these videos, man. He would do these bachelorette parties where these women – At the start of the videos, it would be before he even enters the scene. It would be like, say, them at a woman's living room, and they'd be just kind of chit-chatting with each other. And these were like professional-looking women. Like Rico mentioned, a bank manager. They were women who looked like they had jobs like that. Like these women teenage knucklehead-type-looking chicks. These were women who looked like they were college-educated, professional,
yeah,
you know, really classy. And then once he would come and start doing his thing, man, these women would just, like, they would go fucking, like, nuts. They would be just, like, grabbing all on him. And then, like, when he would go, say, for a break, you would hear women literally begging him, like, oh, take me in the bathroom and fuck me. Oh, matter of fact, why don't you fuck me and my girlfriend? Oh, just fuck me. At least let us suck your dick.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be looking at him like, damn, dude, this is the norm? He just died.
Yeah.
Saying, yep. And it's just a trip, man. Now, one question I have to ask you, I think I already know the answer. Some people told me this one is fake. But I had a woman a couple years ago sent me some links. She said, Alan, check this wild stuff out. It was this site called Dancing Bear. But I heard those are not real strippers.
Yeah, there's some porn out there made to look like it's male strippers stripping, and all the women like are like paid to like suck their dick and all that stuff. But I've looked, like, I know the scene and I know what's real and what's fake. There are some videos where I think they're legitimate, and you know, I'm not gonna say all the stuff out there is fake. I was probably say it's about like 50-50, but the dancing bear, I don't think he's real. I think it's all bullshit, but you know.
Yeah, somebody, I was on a message board, and somebody said the shit was totally fake. Now let me ask you, can you, the way you guys strip? Now, first of all, do you guys work for a service, or are you kind of gonna work for yourself, or a little bit of both?
A little bit.
Right.
What'd you say, Rico?
We're trying to work something out with Brandon. Well, he can tell you more about it because he's the mastermind after the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now, I'm actually starting my own mail review, and Rico has worked in other places. I work in other places right now. So I work for about I work for two other companies and occasionally one other company. So, but right now I'm starting my own group of guys. Dancing just for women, not men. But I still dance for both right now. So.
Okay, well, let me ask you: are you allowed to do things like if you're giving a woman a lap dance, can she suck your dick, or would that be totally allowed, like against policy?
I always push the limit. The, you know, the club owners are the ultimate, you know, deciding factor in that. Most of the time, you cannot do that type of stuff. You can let a girl grab your dick through your G-string, like if, but they see you whipping it out and stuff, then they'll fine you, or they'll a lot of times you can't take pictures in clubs now because they don't want those getting out. So a lot of male reviews will say no pictures beforehand. That's probably that one got canceled that you're talking to your friend about, probably, because some pictures probably got out. So now a lot of the time they don't allow pictures.
Maybe that is. Well, he didn't say that, but I'm thinking, yeah, that probably. He just said they canceled it at that Chicago club because he said the women were just getting out of control. They were like, they weren't respecting the security that was there. They would basically treat the security like, fuck you guys. We jumping on this stage and we getting us some dick. And yep, I was like, damn, it's like that? And
I'm hungry.
Listeners, if you have a question for my guest, I know Rico's going to be taken out soon, but if you have a question for Brandon or Rico, you can call in at 646-478-5710. And when you call in, press the number 1. That lets me know that you have a question or comment. So press the number 1. And right now, I'm going to take an intermission break. But when I get back, I'll have more questions and more conversation for my guests for the evening. So don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. I will be right. Well, I thought I would be right back as soon as I find. Oh, here it is. Okay. Oh no! Before I go to this commercial break, you and Rico got to do me this favor.
I know what you
both
want
to say. Mode 1.
All right, on 3, Rico.
All right.
Say mode 1. We're gonna stretch out the O. Alright,
1, 2, 3.
Mo 1.
Yeah, yeah. Alan Roger Curry.
Up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo 1.
I'll be right back.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
Is it Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex appeal.
This is Nikki Drew, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller. Area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best-looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Alan.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Alan.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Thanks for tuning in. It's nice to see you all again, Phil.
If you found this page, I'm guessing at least on some level you'd like more success.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, with lots of adventures and tips. It's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff. And it's awesome! And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my...
Okay. Well, I will see you.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Ryan.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the street. You know, chap girls on the street. Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah. Check out the boot camp page if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and
stop being a fucking. Just what? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio. Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with male strippers about women's other, more secretive, kinky side on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on the Blog Talk Radio Network in the category of romance, dating, and relationships. Tonight, if you're just tuning in, what we're discussing is women who, when they're around certain people, will act very conservative and prudish and, you know, act like they blush over the mere mention of sex. But when they get around other people, and most specifically male strippers, they tend to show their real kinky, uninhibited side. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is because I have a term I use in my books. If any of you have read my books, there's a term I use called wholesome pretenders. That's what a wholesome pretender is. A wholesome pretender is a woman who publicly tries to give off the impression she's very conservative and very prudish, but behind closed doors, she's just like freaky as hell. Like one of the things I mentioned in my latest book, again, the title of my latest book is The Possibility of Sex. And I would encourage everybody, particularly the men, to read that book. I've been getting a lot of good feedback. I got 9 5-star ratings on that book on Amazon and 1 4-star rating. No 3-star, no 2-star, no 1-star rating. So people have been loving it. But anyway, one of the things I talk about, I actually talk about male strippers, for starters, in that book. Because I first noticed it, as I was telling my guest tonight, the first time I think I noticed that women act different was when I was in college. One time I had a female friend that invited me to be a male model for a lingerie fashion show. And she had me and a male friend of mine. We were modeling like G-strings for men and a couple other things. And man, these women were just, they were way more aggressive than I've seen men act with women. I mean, they were like grabbing my ass. They were grabbing my dick. They just start kissing on my back and my thighs. And I mean, it was just, I was just like, damn, these women are trip. And then as you've been here, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I told you I had a buddy in L.A. who was a male stripper. And the combination of the stories he would tell me along with some of the videos he had, I mean, these women would act a fool with these men. And one of the points I make in the book, I think why it's such a big deal to me, is that I get tired of men being portrayed as the hornier sex. To me, I think that's just bullshit. I really do, and I know a lot of people would argue with me, but I do not think men are hornier for sex than women do. I think we have gained the image and the reputation of being the hornier sex. But the truth of the matter is, women are just as horny, if not hornier, for sex as men are.
Like, I know I've said on this show before, I say probably at least no less than 3/4 of my ex-girlfriends wanted to fuck more than I did, most of the time, or at minimum just as much as I did. But a lot of times, I would be the one in my relationships who was like, okay, calm down. We just fucked this morning. Damn, give me a break. Let me watch TV or some shit. I ain't got to be just fucking all the time. And but like one of my listeners, Michael Gcock, who's in the chat room, he's expressed a couple comments in the chat room about how, you know, women, to their credit, they just do a better job of keeping their kind of horny side under control around most people until they get around a guy that they really, really want to fuck. Or in the case tonight where we're talking about when they get around the company of male strippers. And you've already heard me interviewing and conversing with Brandon and Rico. If you look on the link, you can see pictures of them. I put some eye candy for the women. Got two pictures of Brandon, one of Rico, and now I'm about to bring in a guy. He's on there, too. He's the next, second from the right. His name is Devin. Devin, how are you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, how's pretty Devin? Good. Now, Devin, one of the questions I asked both Brandon and Rico, my first question to you would be, what series of events or what particular incident or thought in your mind made you say, I'm going to become a male stripper?
It probably started when I was doing fitness modeling in New York, and basically a promoter of a club approached me, and he's like, listen, you're in shape, you want to make some money on the weekends. I seemed like a cool idea, seemed like I'd have a lot of fun doing it, tried it out a couple times, had fun, and, you know, took it from there.
Now, how long you been doing it now? For how many years?
Professionally dancing, only a few months, but working in the club, probably like a year and a half or so.
Okay. Now, one question I have for you that I've also posed to Brandon and Rico. Have you ever been dancing and you had women just start like groping you and rushing you on stage and just basically trying their best to suck your dick and get you to fuck them or something?
Oh, all the time.
No hesitation.
You're like, that's an every week occurrence.
Oh, yeah. All, literally, you can't walk in there without that happening.
Now, you being a male stripper, along the lines of what you heard me talk about, women's kind of what I call sexual duplicity.
Yeah.
Do you kind of just smirk to yourself if you're around guys who say, hey, man, why are women as horny as men? Why we got to, like, make them for sex? Do you find yourself kind of smirking like, man, if you only knew how women really were?
See, sometimes I do, but I honestly get approached by my friends, you know? And I'm just like, listen, if you gotta approach this differently. Because, I mean, guys, it's a complete, it's a control thing. So if a guy, you know, acts like he really doesn't care if he gets laid or not, girls are going to come around almost immediately.
Interesting. So what some would call casual indifference.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, one of the things I asked also Brandon Rico, have you ever had a scenario, one of these two scenarios where either A, you had met a woman, say, I don't know, at a party or some social event, and she acted really, like she was really, really conservative and prudish. Then she came to one of your dancing events and showed her wild side. Or secondly, you first met her while you were dancing and she showed her wild side, but then later on when you saw her in a different environment, she acted real conservative.
I definitely have actually the experience where I've had the second experience, definitely. The first not so much, because if I meet a girl out at the bar or party or whatever, there are a lot of times where they'll just act crazy right there, you know what I mean? Like real horny, just start grabbing me and everything. But definitely I've met girls in the club before where I've been dancing, and you know, when it's time to like either hit them up to go home together or whatever, that's when they'll start acting like, I don't know if I should do this, or I don't know, you know, how many girls do you normally do this with? And that's when I'm just like, yo, at the end of the day, you're bringing a stripper home. What do you think's going to happen? You know?
Now, this also brings me to just the emphasis of looks, because in the same way society tends to promote that men are the hornier sex, it's often been said that we as men care more about looks than women do. But then Match.com, I don't know if you guys remember this, but Match.com actually did a survey. I want to say it was since I've been doing my show, so it had to be within the last 5.5 years. But anyway, they had some interesting results. They found that women who were surveyed versus the men who were surveyed, and all of these were members of Match.com, they found that women actually put not only just as much emphasis on looks as men do, but specifically from the neck on down, they found that women actually put more emphasis on looks than men do.
Absolutely.
Would you be a male strippers who are looked at as sexual objects, would you tend to agree with the results of that survey?
Absolutely.
No, I said it at the same time. Absolutely.
I got a personal experience for you. It was in college, and we were having my roommates and I were having a Halloween party, and you know we're out actually at our neighbor's house. We're just pre-gaming before our party actually starts. So my one roommate and I, we dressed up as, like, these army dudes, you know what I mean? Like, we're walking around, like, having a good time, you know, just chilling, whatever. Well, we're walking down the street, and there's this, I swear, she must have been all of 5'10", 106 pounds soaking wet. Like, she was a dime, right?
Okay.
And we approach her, and I, we start talking or whatever, and I finally say, well, listen, like, we're going to have a party. We'd love for you to come back with us. So she looks at him, she looks at me, and she says, listen, I have a boyfriend, I'd love to, but I can't. So me being a smartass, I lift my shirt up to show her my abs, and I go, oh, for real? And I kid you not, she was like, I'll come with you guys.
Wow.
Seriously.
Wow.
I just want to add on, you know, I'm familiar with the whole pickup community and all that, and there's a lot of, like, well, looks don't matter, or et cetera, et cetera. But to a point, they very much do. I mean, if you guys want to approach 50 women a week, you know, then don't work out. Or you could work out, take care of yourself, shave the back of your neck, and, you know, I mean, you know, pluck your damn eyebrows. I mean, well, you got the Amazon forest growing on your forehead. I mean, guys, women spend hundreds of dollars a year on themselves. Men spend $20 a month on a crappy haircut. You know, you guys, you got to start taking care of yourselves, because me and Devin are going to fuck off women. You know? I hate to be the asshole, but I'm not doing you guys any justice by cutting you any corners here. Just go to the gym, work out. You can approach 10 women a week instead of 50, and you know, it depends what kind of work you want to do. I don't know. You want to approach women or go to the gym? It's both work, but I'd rather go to the gym. I don't know.
Well, those are all good points, man. Well, do I still have Rico on the line? Rico, you've been kind of quiet. What's your thoughts on the whole women emphasizing men's looks?
They are really, really picky. Like, they always think that we are the ones that always wanted the best bodies and everything. Like, when you truly ask a woman, what is the first thing that you look at a man when you first see him? Some of them be like, oh, the face, or I don't know, their hands. But at least 8 out of 10, they will go, oh, I look at their hands. That's the first thing they say.
Interesting.
Most of them don't. Most of them won't actually say that they tell the truth.
So women, the number one thing they look at is a man's ass or abs.
Yes. The ass.
And arms. And arms.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely
so
like
ass, abs, and arms.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah, I remember I was reading this book, this magazine. This has been a few years now. But I was at a newsstand and I happened to pick up, you know, one of those like health and fitness type magazines. And this magazine, they conducted their survey among women. And they asked them, one of the questions was, what is the most underrated physical thing on a man that attracts you? And they said almost all the women said abs. They were like, any woman that says they don't care about a man's stomach is lying.
Oh, they're lying.
Like, I was reading that like, wow, because I'll be honest, I didn't even necessarily know that. But, yeah, all these women who were surveyed by this magazine, they were like, no, they were like abs. You know, they were like, any guy with nice abs, we going to look at. And so I was like, so well, now that we're talking about stuff to do with looks and now we're talking about health and fitness, I want to ask you guys about some. Well, wait a minute. He's gone now. I had somebody who had a question for one of you guys, but now he has left the phone queue. But start with you, Rico, and then Brandon, and then Devin. Rico, what are two questions? One, give me a general idea of your exercise routine, and then secondly, when it comes to foods, is there any type of food that you have to avoid to keep your physique in shape, or do you eat anything you want to in moderation?
All right. So I love working out. Like, I'm one of the guys that loves sports. Anything that gets me sweaty, I'm in it. So I like to run a lot. So I usually run 5 days a week, and I do my weight training 5 days a week also in the afternoons. When it comes to diet, pretty much try to stay away from carbs, anything that is rice, breads, pastas, or anything like that, and just try to eat as much meat as possible and seafood. And that's what, so far it's been working for me. That seems to keep me in shape all the time.
Okay, Brandon?
Yeah, I do. If I'm not on steroids, I do 3 days a week of the weights in the gym. If I am on steroids, I do 5 days a week in the gym with the weights. I do cardio 5 or 6 days a week.
What kind of cardio?
I'll switch between the elliptical and the bike, and I just go back and forth between those. Sometimes I'll run, but that's kind of hard on your joints. At 31, I'm starting to feel it. So,
okay. Yeah, I've heard that because that's what I have, actually. I have a combination elliptical and I always mispronounce that word.
Recumbent bike.
Yeah, that's what I have. Okay. And what about eating?
Yeah, I am very strict. I do maybe like one cheat meal a week or every other week. It's pretty much all egg whites, chicken breasts, and some oatmeal here and there. Pretty boring, but, you know, it's just what you got to do. You know?
Yeah, it produces the results, okay. And, Devin, what's your general exercise program and your eating habits?
Well, I compete on stage, like men's physique, bodybuilding, stuff like that, so I'm a little bit more strict. I work out 6 days a week. I do cardio 7 days a week, and it'll either be, you know, walking on an incline or elliptical or riding the bike, or sometimes I'll do interval, like sprint and walk type deal, but that's normally my cardio. I do it on an empty stomach in the morning. Working out, I do
Before you go forward, Devin, I want to ask you about that, because that's what my brother always encourages me to do. He says, Alan, he said, it's good to work out, period, but he said, I think you should always work out before you put anything in your stomach. And he said he read that that's better for you. Would you say that it gives you a clear advantage when you work out on an empty stomach?
You know what? I've gotten mixed reviews on that, and the only reason I do it is because I'm a creature of habit. And you know, I've been in my best shape on stage, you know, competing and like on the MPC circuit, and it's almost like at this point it's like part of my training and stuff. So I make sure I do it on an empty stomach. The thought process behind it is basically if you can do it on an empty stomach, you're going to burn more fat. Whether it's true or not, you know, that remains to be seen. But, I mean, I know for me it works for me, so I continue to do it.
Yeah, I've done it both ways. I got results both ways. So whatever works for you, just do it. That's the bottom line.
So it sounds like all three of you are kind of – stay away from the too many carbs. So carbs are really
good. Oh, no. I'm huge on carbs. I'm eating carbs all day.
Oh, Devin, you like carbs.
Oh, yeah. I have.
Devin's a bigger guy. How big are you, Devin? How much do you weigh?
I'm currently about 215, but I'd like to be on stage around like 205.
Yeah, he's a pretty big guy. He can handle a lot of carbs. You kind of have to test it on yourself, see what you can handle.
You know, I stay away from a lot of like the white starch and things like that, but I'm always eating a whole oat or sweet potato, brown rice. I'm all day I'm eating that stuff.
Interesting. Okay. I want to give a few shout outs in my chat room. I got Adam Greco in my chat room. I got Ben 3 in my chat room. I got Black Women Talk. And specifically, that's Renee, my friend Renee. You've heard her outspoken self on my show. I got my guests in the chat room, Brandon. I got a few guests. I got KC1082's trying to start some mess in the chat room. I don't understand that last comment you wrote, KC1082. I got
listener
Michael Cheacock. I got Shelly B. What's up, Shelly? How you doing, Shelly? Shelly, that's... She's real cool with me. And then I got that name. I always have a hard time pronouncing Susie Hassadassas. okay. But anyway, I'm going to take one more break. And listeners, if you do have a question for my guests, when I come back, I only have about another 15, 20 minutes with them. So I want you to call in if you have any questions or comments to anything that's been said tonight. The number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. And I also saw somebody that was in my phone queue using the Skype feature. You can call into the show using Skype. So if you want to do that, but I'm going to take my last intermission break and then... And before I go to this intermission, I already had Brandon and Rico do the Mo 1. Now, Devin, this is what I want you to do. You're new to my show. You've never heard a previous episode. But one thing that's become like a custom on my show is that I have my guests take the title of my book, which is called Mode 1, and you stretch out the O's so that you say, Mode 1. So, Devin, give me your best Mode 1.
Mode 1.
That was good. Mode
1. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode 1.
You're up front, straightforward.
Mode 1. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode 1.
Mode 1.
I will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavored Tips, presented by Bay. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Rachel Curry of Upfront, Straightforward, and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but
but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
No one.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah. It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Says she's correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, and he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that. Yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it. Single, lonely, confused, join. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my interview with male strippers about women's other, more secretive, kinky side on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to the last segment of tonight's episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, the most listened to talk radio podcast program on Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network in the category of romance and dating and relationships. In case you tuned in late, what we've been talking about mainly is women and their, what I call their other side, or their secret other wild side. I mean, I'm sure as a man, if you're a man listening to this show, you've met at least a handful of women that publicly carried themselves like they were these really conservative, prudish types. But then once you got them in the bedroom, you saw a more wild, kinky, and freaky side. Or in the case of my guest tonight, once you danced for them and took off your clothes, you know, the woman who you thought was the conservative church-going woman who couldn't even pronounce the word fuck was like, ooh, let me suck your dick. And, yeah, so we've been talking about that. I've been talking with three popular, attractive male strippers. One's named Brandon. I've been familiar with Brandon for a while.
What's up?
He's familiar with my Mo One philosophy. And along with Brandon, I'm talking to Rico and Devin. Now, Brandon, I got to ask you, speaking of Mo One, being a male stripper, it almost fits right in with Mo. To me, I would think that makes it 10 times easier to be Mo One with women than if you weren't a male stripper.
Yeah, it's pretty much the ultimate Mode One environment, you know. I mean, I'm just talking dirty to girls all night long, just saying whatever the hell I want. And they're all reciprocators, as you like to say. Pretty much. I mean, you get eventually. Sometimes you get a girl who's like, "Oh, you're bad," you know. But it's like, you know, they like it though. You break them down, you know.
Wow.
But it helps your game. It helps your game outside of the strip club, because you have that awareness that women are going to be responsive to your dirty talk. Yeah,
it's true, and that's why I would think it would, because I know that's what my buddy, again, bringing my buddy who danced in L.A., that's what he used to say. He used to say, oh, man, he said, Alan, your Mo One style is tailor-made for someone like me who's a male stripper, because, he's like, you know, like you said, most of the women are going to be reciprocators because they already, you know, in that environment where they feel like talking about fucking is no big deal because they want to fuck you more often than not. Let me ask all you three, starting with you, Rico, then Brandon, then Devin. Rico, when you have decided to say, enter into a long-term, what's supposed to be a long-term monogamous relationship. Now, I'm assuming you've done that at least once, but I don't know. You might tell me that you've never done that. But let's assume you have at least once. Did your girlfriends have an issue with you being a stripper, or that's you've never had a serious girlfriend since you've been stripping?
Well, I've been in that situation twice. One of my ex-girlfriends, she actually didn't like it, and that was the reason why we actually broke up. I didn't give it up. I didn't give up my dancing because that's how she made me, and that's how I used to make my money. So, I didn't have to quit. So it wasn't like a really, really serious thing. So I was like, whatever. But then I had another girlfriend that when I confessed to her that I was a stripper, she like fell more, even more in love with me. She wanted to be my promoter, and she was finding me gigs everywhere, and it was crazy.
Interesting. Brandon, since you've been stripping, have you ever had like a real serious girlfriend?
Well, like I said, I've done it on and off, so when I haven't been stripping, they don't like the idea of me going back to it. But if I'm already stripping, some of them are for it and some of them are just not for it. Some of them say they're for it in the beginning, and then the insecurity starts coming out and it becomes a problem. So, but I generally don't have monogamous relationships.
Devin, what about you? Have you had any type of serious girlfriend since you've been stripping?
I have. I had one girl, and actually to this day, she didn't know I do it.
Unless she's listening to this show tonight.
Yeah, right? That's how I'm going to get caught tonight, right now. She was a good girl and everything, and I was scared to tell her because I was like, this will crush her if I do. Like, so I just told her I would, you know, go out and do, like, promotional stuff for like vodka companies and things like that. So she didn't really like the idea of that, let alone me going all the way down to nothing and dancing in front of girls. So I just wanted to go.
Ooh, Devin, you weren't Mo One with her, man. Now I gotta ask you about this. You say she was a good girl. Now Brandon already knows I have an issue with that term because I think most women play the role of the good girl, but there's very few women I've met that are truly. So when you say good girl, do you mean she just maintained this kind of conservative demeanor? Or, I mean, what's your definition of a good girl?
I mean, she had her morals, she had her values, and like, you know, she stuck to them regardless. Like, it wasn't that she would change in front of people, she wouldn't act a certain way. Like who she was is who she was at all times. You know, when I found out, like, how many people she had been with before me, her list is pretty short, you know, and she asked me, like, how many people I was with, and I was like, you're not going to be happy with my number, so we can always let her be at that.
Interesting, because, for me, man, maybe this is me, it's very few women I give the category of good girl unless it's a woman.
I agree with that.
You know, I mean, because, and that relates to the subject of the show is because, I feel like a lot of women know when to put on the facade of a good girl. But there's always one, two, three, or more guys that know how to bring out her freaky side.
I agree.
And so, real quick, shout out. I see SDub72 has entered my chat room. What's up, SDub? And also, I owe a little apology to KC1082. I accuse you of starting some drama in my chat room, but it looks like I misread a response you had to Renee. So I apologize for that. Appreciate you listening to the show. So now, Brandon, going back to your lighthearted comments, that you're rarely monogamous. I'm going to get nosy here, and you guys don't have to answer my nosy question, but I'm going to be nosy. I want to know from all three of you, what's like just the wildest scenario you've had, like, you know, I'm sure all three of you have probably had sex with two women at the same time at least once. So to y'all, that probably is like almost like normal. That don't even seem in any way abnormal. But let me start with you, Rico. What's one of the wildest, and particularly since that relates to you being a stripper, what's one of the wildest sexual scenarios you found yourself in?
Oh, my God, that's a tough question. I went through a lot of weird things.
Okay, just give me one. You don't have to name all of them, but give me one that might raise the eyebrows of some of my listeners. Like, damn, he did that? It could be some situation, again, involving fucking multiple women, or it could be fucking one woman in an interesting place, like behind a bank in an alley, or just something that the average person would consider out of the ordinary. What's one sexual experience you had, and particularly one that happened specifically as a result of you being a male stripper?
All right. It was right after our show, and it was in New York, and the train, it was the train E, I clearly remember. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was talking to this one girl that she just followed me after our show. And she kept on insisting on following me home. I said no, and as a result, long story short, she gave me a blowjob in the train.
I know you enjoyed
right
that.
On the E-train, right on the E train, 3 in the morning. There was no one else in there. That was crazy.
Brandon, what's one of your? I know you probably have a few, but give me one scenario, particularly one that was related to you that came about because of you being a stripper.
Yeah, and I like this one because it's, I mean, like threesomes and foursomes and fivesomes are an old hat, so there's been plenty of that, I'll just say that. But the one that I think guys should learn from is don't be the cool husband or the cool boyfriend that lets their girl go to a male strip club. Let me tell you something. This happened a few months ago. A guy and a woman come in, husband and wife, and the guy's, you know, he's real cool. He's like, yeah, go ahead, grab his package, and that. And she's acting all shy and that, like, yeah. But she still grabbed it. And I could tell she liked it, and I asked him. I said, look, do you want to tag team your wife sometime? And he said, well, you know, I'll think about it. Give me your number, And she was hot, so I wasn't going to do anything with him because I don't swing that way, but she was smoking. So somehow she got my number prior through his phone, and she started texting me. And I said to ask her husband about, going at it together. And she said, no. And I said, well, I texted him. I asked him about it again. He said he wasn't sure.
Okay.
And I told her, I said, she's not sure. And she said, I don't really care.
Wow.
And so I ended up hitting that for about 6 weeks. And,
wow.
But see, you know, it's like he wants to be the cool husband or something, you know? So even in open relationships, you know, it doesn't,
Now, see, Brandon, that's interesting you tell that story because, again, that relates to my last book, and I'm a shamelessly plug my book, but it's my show. But my last book, for you listeners who are familiar with my books, my fourth book is called The Possibility of Sex, How Naive and Lustful Men Are Manipulated by Women Regularly. And there's one chapter where I talk about liars and cheaters. And one of the things I talk about is that in modern day society, there was a time when I would probably agree that men cheated far more than women. But women, now one, a certain percentage of women have always cheated. And I think definitely in the 21st century, I would argue that you probably have as many, if not more, women who cheat than men.
Absolutely.
But one of the things I say in my book is that one of the themes of this interview has been seeing women's quote-unquote real side, and more specifically their real sexual side. I said, one of the number one times you see a woman's real sexual side, and every guy I know whose experience agrees with me on this, is when you're the other man. When you're the other man, meaning the man that a woman is cheating on her husband with, cheating on her boyfriend with, cheating on whoever she's with you, and you're that other guy, you're the guy who's going to really see her real self.
Oh,
hell yeah. She's
going to
be real with you. She's not going to play any roles. She's not going to put on any facades. I mean, I've had women tell me stuff. Now, in my older years, I point this out in my book, and I'm going to say this on radio. In my older years, I started to develop more respect for my fellow man. So I can't say I don't fuck around with other guys' women anymore, although it's been a handful of times I've had phone sex with a woman that was already in a relationship. But as far as physical sex, I don't do it because I just believe it produces bad karma. But when I was starting with my late teens all the way up until my early to mid-30s, shit, I didn't give a fuck. I will tell you that straight up. I didn't give a fuck. If a woman threw some pussy at me, I didn't care if she was in a relationship. I would fuck them. But what I find interesting, they would tell me shit that their own companions or spouses didn't know. And they would exhibit behavior towards me that they would tell me that they didn't show that side to their husband or their boyfriend or whoever. And it just shows you how duplicitous women are. And again, I'm not saying that to say that men are not. Men have their own duplicitous ways. Devin kind of in his own way admitted that with this one girlfriend. But women, they will show you, they will show one guy one side and they will show another guy another side. And that's one reason why I tell guys, one of my pieces of advice to guys, don't be too quick to put a woman on what I call the pedestal. Because once you put a woman on a pedestal, no woman wants to see her level of respect drop in any man's eyes. You're better off starting off treating a woman like she's the kinkiest freak in the world, and then as time goes on, treat her like she's more monogamous minded and more of a quote unquote good girl, than to start off treating a woman like she's this pristine good girl and then later on try to treat her like a freak, because no woman wants that loss of, but Yeah, it's just women are just so funny in that way. And again, I think you guys in your career see it probably more than just about any other guy by career.
Oh, no. I mean, we get to see them live their fantasy.
That's right. Yeah. Did Devin give a dirty story yet? Because I don't remember if he gave one.
Oh, yeah, Devin, I didn't get to you. Yeah. What's your, like, really kinky, something that can't be none basic or conventional, something that's out of the ordinary, and particularly something that relates to you that came about as a result of you being a stripper?
Mine is, honestly, it's not that it's a crazy, you know, sex story. It's just kind of my personality. I'm a very competitive person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in this apartment, and the neighbors, they were all girls. The five apartments surrounding my one was all girls. And there was this one girl who was, I mean, she looked, I thought she was, like, real cute. Everything was good about her, cool. Her friends, her family, everybody told me, you know, this girl has a boyfriend of 5 years. She'll never cheat. And I'm like, guys, I bet you I can make her cheat. And she's, you know, everybody around me said, you know, she's never cheated. You're not going to get this. Like, stop playing yourself, blah, blah, blah. So it was around Halloween. This was a couple years ago. And I'm like, I made a bet with my roommate. I was like, yo, before Thanksgiving, I will sleep with her. And we bet on it. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't know, but we bet on it. Well, that Halloween, you know, we were drinking or whatever, and we got to talking, and it was cool, and, like, we hooked up. And I guess it must have been that next weekend we'd slept together for the first time. And, again, she's been with her boyfriend for 5 years, still with the kid. And from the week that weekend after Halloween through June, we had slept with each other probably 1,000 times.
Wow.
Wow.
And it was all because I just wanted to prove to her friends and win a bet that I could make her cheat.
I think you won the bet.
I think I got a Skype phone call. I'm not sure, but I'm going to check. I see somebody on the line by the name of Anthony.
Yes, that's me. I don't know how I got on this call because I was on a different channel, and all of a sudden it redirected to you.
I'm
finding it interesting. I'm calling from the UK. I didn't actually call you. This is an accident. I don't know how it happened, but only Block Talk can do that.
Well, thank you for accidentally listening to the show. Well, now that I have your mic open, I don't know how much you've heard, but is there anything you have to comment on about women? In case you missed most of the show, one of the main things we've been talking about is women who will either publicly or around certain people give people the impression that they're very conservative and very prudish, but behind closed doors, or in this case at a strip club, they will show their more kinky, freaky, wild side. Do you have any experiences where you met a woman and she was trying to give you the impression she was really conservative and prudish, but then later on you saw her in an environment where she was letting her freaky side show?
Yes, I've had that quite a few times. I've been in some domination movies with a friend of mine who was a dominatrix, and she used to love to let it go.
Uh-huh.
They used to be really funny because we'd be making the movie, her husband would be on the camera, And I'd be the playing subby for the purposes of the movie, and I would be sitting there fighting not to laugh my head off because none of the punters would realize that we were good friends.
That's one hell of an accidental call in.
came to the right place.
Things got out of control because I'd start laughing, and then the mistress, who's supposed to be dominant in charge, she would start laughing. And we'd have to just stop and go and get pizza in the kitchen or a glass of wine and try and
you need any actors in the UK?
Say again?
You need any actors in the UK? I'm down to get on a plane.
Well, I've been out of that scenario for many, many years now. I'm just a plain Joe right now. But it used to be really funny to go on. I always wanted to be an actor. I never realized I'd wind up in porn movies.
Now, is your name Anthony?
Keith Anthony.
Keith, I don't know if you noticed. You know, I actually came over across the pond and spoke to some of your fellow chaps.
Really?
Because my book, to kind of toot my horn a little bit, my book is popular over in the UK. Matter of fact, it's popular in, actually in a number of different countries, but one of those countries is the UK. And they had an event called the Direct Dating Summit. It was held in November of 2010 at this place called the Cavendish Conference Center, something like that. Anyway, I spoke in London, had a great time over there, got some lovely women over there. Now, I heard from some of the guys I met over there that you guys have a very extensive what's called fetish scene that relates to what you talked about in your movie.
It's fairly big. We've got a club in London called Pedestal, which is all dominant women.
Okay. Now, they have a lot of male strippers in the UK, don't they? Because didn't they do a movie? What was that movie called?
I know the one you mean.
British guys in it. Huh?
The Full Monty.
That was the British version of Magic Mike. Yeah. Well, it's kind of a little different because those guys weren't really by trade strippers. They just decided to do it for a cause.
I do very well when I go to places like Pistol, which is for dominant women, but they're immediately aware of me that there's something different about me because I'm not a submissive. And you get the guys in these clubs and they fall all over the women. You know, they will do anything that the women want. They'll sort of fall onto their knees and I don't do that. So the women in those places immediately recognize that I'm not behaving the way all these wimps are, and they start coming onto me. And it's a great place to pick up a woman. For normal relationships, I mean.
So they mean they respect that you're a man with balls, basically. Balls.
Well, they can. I think they can see it as soon as they look at me because I don't mind peeing and that kind of thing. But I'm not a wimp. But I don't collapse to my knees when I see a woman. Quite the opposite.
Okay.
And I'm actually a hypnotherapist, so I have quite a dominant nature. And I remember once I went to that club, which is Pedestal, and the mistress, you can look her up on the internet, actually. Look up Mistress Absolute, you'll find her everywhere. She's a really well-respected dominatrix, but when I went into the club once, she immediately took my hand and kissed my hand, You don't do that with a submissive guy.
Did you fuck her?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
She was busy making money.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you accidentally
finding
my show, Keith Anthony.
What it is.
Huh?
What is the name of your show?
My show is called Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I mainly talk about anything and everything to do with dating and relationships and attraction and seduction. And I air live usually every Thursday, unless something comes up on a particular Thursday. But usually I'm on the air live on Thursday. Well, in UK, it would be Friday already. So it's Friday morning where you are. So, your time would be Friday morning. But in the United States, I'm on Thursday nights. And I usually interview people that do something related to dating relationships or love and sex or seduction, that type of thing. So glad to have you as a new listener.
By accident. It's been fun. Are you on the East Coast?
I am in the Chicagoland area.
That's central,
isn't it?
But
my guests tonight are from the East Coast. And speaking of my guests, I'm going to go back to them real quick because now it's time to wrap up the show. I'm actually going a couple minutes over. But starting with you, Rico, let my listeners, and particularly my female listeners, know that if they come visit Pennsylvania, where can they find you? Where can they find you on the World Wide Web, too?
Well, in Pennsylvania, there's so many places where I can be, so I exactly don't know where I'll be. But anyone can find me on Facebook, or they can just Google me, Rico Brook, and they can find my model website and contact me through there, and I'll talk to them and tell them where I will be. And thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Thank you for joining me, Ricky. Now, you say your last, on Facebook you're known as Rico Brook?
Yes.
B-R-O-O-K?
B-R-O-O-K. Yeah.
Okay. Rico Brook. Okay, that's Rico. That's where, you ladies, you can find Rico. Devin, tell my female listening audience where they can find you on the World Wide Web.
On the, well, let me tell you first, in person, if they want to come see me right now, I'm at Club Risque. Upstairs at Risque, it's a male review.
Now, what city is that in?
That's in Philly.
Okay.
And online, you can actually just hit up my Twitter, Eric Block Fit.
What's the Twitter again?
Eric Block Fit.
Eric Block Fit?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And finally, Brandon, man, good to talk to you. We've chatted on through Facebook a few times. Glad to have you as a guest, and let the people know where they can find you in person as well as on the World Wide Web.
Ladies, if you are visiting the Lehigh Valley area, come and see the Steel City Studs. We're up-and-coming male review, and we are going to rock the area. So if you want the ultimate ladies' night out, look up Steel City Studs and like us on Facebook.
I'll be joining the Steel City Studs also.
Oh,
right,
okay.
On. And so will Rico.
Now, the one thing all three of you got to do as a favor for me, Alan Roger Curry, is y'all need to send me the Alan Roger Curry 2013 Rock Solid Fitness Program. So, because, you know, I'm trying to get a little this added chunk I got from chicken wings. So, man, you know, y'all gotta keep me motivated. Just at least once a month, say, hey, man, Alan, man, stay motivated, man. And
I
appreciate that. Y'all already gave me some tips on this show, so I think I'm going to use them. Listeners, join me next week. Again, I will be interviewing two women who are doing one-act shows. One is Natasha Dixon. She is doing a show called The Evolution of a Love Addict. Another is named Christy Ferris. Hers is The Story of O. That will be next Thursday. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. 4 more years for Obama. That's right, damn it. I'll see you next Thursday.